the Lord with us this morning. Amen. God is so great. You may be seated. We do want to take just a moment to thank all the work that's been done around the church and inside and out. It's looking really, really good. We're so very appreciative. So good to see the brightness this morning and all the things that have been done. And we thank each and every one of you for your dedication, for your labor of love. This morning, it is a wonderful opportunity we have to dedicate two children to the Lord this morning. And we're so thankful for that. Amy's here with the little one. Is it Maislin and Dawson. So we're going to ask the families if they would come, maybe up here on the front pew this morning, as we prepare to dedicate these children to the Lord. Then we'll go into the regular part of our service this morning. Let's give Amy and Cody a hand clap this morning for bringing their children to the Lord. Grandparents, you're welcome to come too if you want to come forward. Certainly this is a happy time, a wonderful time. And the birth of children is so great.
Amen.
You know, the scriptures encourage us to bring our children to the Lord and to dedicate them and their life to the Lord. We may not always be there to guide them. They will grow up. But if they learn while they're young, then the Bible tells us that it won't depart from them. The Bible says that Hannah bare a son and called his name Samuel. She brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh to Eli, and she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. Therefore I have granted him to the Lord as long as he liveth." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. In the New Testament we read concerning the infant Christ, that when 8 days were fulfilled, they called his name Jesus. And they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now let thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And his father and his mother were marveling at these things which were spoken concerning him. The child grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6 to train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Lord said, "I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Today is a happy and significant occasion which brings us together. Just like Mary and Hannah of old, you have brought your child to the temple today to present him and her to the Lord. You have heard the invitation of the Master, "Suffer the children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." It is fitting that you should bring your child while the spell of his advent is still upon you. The mystery and wonder of this new life have brought you to stand reverently and thoughtfully before the Father of all, and have given you a new and compelling message of the dignity of life and the obligation of parenthood. Would you come at this time, Cody and Amy, and bring Dawson and Maislin? Let's give them a hand this morning. Cody and Amy, this dedication is just as much for you as it is for your children. The purpose of this service is to help you as parents to appreciate your obligation, so to train your child or your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that when they come to the age of responsibility, they will in fact know right from wrong and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Master. God has a purpose for both of these children's lives. I believe that with all of my heart. To find that purpose and to live it out fully will mean success. To refuse or ignore it will mean failure, no matter how much worldly acclaim may come. It is your privilege as parents and duty to guide your children in such a way as to make the will of God the greatest and most important ambition of their lives. To this task, you are called to consecrate your lives today. To this end, you dedicate your children to God in accordance with the purpose for which you have come. Will you now respond to the following covenant? Do you present your children today before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct them in the teachings of Jesus Christ and the practice of prayer, and to guide them in the development of a Christ-like character? Do you promise to try to the best of your ability so to shape the home life of your children, both by family devotions and by your words and certainly by your example, that they will at the proper age most naturally come to an open confession of Christ and into the fellowship of the service of the church? Inasmuch as you have promised before God and this people to dedicate your children to God and yourselves to the task of rearing them for God, I charge you to address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation with wisdom, patience, and devotion. And to this end, may the blessing of God rest upon you and your children. Now, Mason's asleep, so I'm not going to ask to hold her. Dawson, you going to bed before everybody? Heavenly Father, as we bring these children before you this morning, God, and these parents, God, have made the important decision to dedicate these children to you and to your service. Father, I pray that you would lead and guide them, God, as they grow. Pray, God, that they will not go away from your word, from your commandments. Pray, God, that you would give this dad and this mom, God, the solemn obligation and the responsibility to know the importance of bringing these children to church, reading them the scriptures, and openly confessing Christ as our Savior. I pray your blessing upon them for the rest of their life. God, I know that you have a purpose for them, and I pray that you bless them and anoint them. In Jesus' name, we dedicate them to you. Amen. All right. Here we have a... Wait just a minute. Let me give you your certificate of dedication. Dawson, thank you for your help. Now, I must apologize. I went to the Bible bookstore and I was making sure that I bought the King James Version of the Old Testament, and I was going to get three and three. And for some reason, I paid more attention to the King James Version than the color. I only have pink. I'm going to get you a blue one, okay, buddy? You want to hold it? Hold it for Mason. I'm going to get you a blue one, okay? I promise. I'm on the spot.
Praise God.
Amen. We encourage that. Amen. My children were dedicated at a very early age, and I thank God for that. And all you parents have done that. This is a wonderful thing, but this is only the beginning, only the start. Yes. Amen. The real work comes in as those children begin to grow. And we know that the Lord's hand will be upon them. Amen. All my hope is in Jesus. How about you? It's not in the government. It's not in the church. Amen. It's not in fellow man, but all of my hope is in Jesus. And how many knows he'll never let us down? He'll never forsake us. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of St. Matthew. We thank God for the praise and worship. We thank God for those who have come this way this morning, for those, the family, amen, that have brought their children to be dedicated unto the Lord. But let us get into the Word of God this morning. Amen. From the book of St. Matthew, I want to go to the 19th chapter. That's music to my ears to hear the pages of God's holy word being turned. Amen. Matthew chapter number 19, beginning with verse number 16. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. The Bible reads this way. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Can we bow our head in prayer? Brother Rowdy, take us to the Lord in prayer this morning, asking God's anointing upon his messenger.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now, Lord God, needing to hear from you, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, to anoint our pastor, Lord, and let us display, God. God, let us open up our hearts, God, to receive what you have for your children today, in this time, in this hour, God. So desperately needed, Lord God. Let us hear from the Spirit this morning, God.
Yes, Lord.
Let us put everything out of our hearts and minds, Lord God, and give you the glory and honor for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Give the Lord praise and you may be seated. One more hand clap of praise for Jesus. Amen. You're clapping for Jesus this morning. Praise God. I want to bring a message entitled Great Possessions. And I want us to think about that for just a few moments. I thought how fitting it was this morning that this particular account of Jesus and this young, I think in Luke, refers to him as a young ruler. Whatever it was, we understand and know through the scriptures that he was pretty well off and had many possessions, but I thought how fitting it was that this man came to Jesus just after Jesus had told his disciples, you got to be like these children. You know, he had just brought the children and they wanted him to lay his hands on them and bless them. And the disciples were wanting to rebuke the parents. And Jesus told him, he said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he went on to bless them. And I thought how fitting that was that this message was after the dedication of children this morning. But the rich young ruler, we'll just refer him to this morning as the young man, because I want us not to much so think about his wealth as his intentions. And I want to maybe lay some groundwork on what this young man was thinking and how it fits into so many people today. We've recently had conversation after conversation about people who want to be committed to God, who want to serve him, but yet they lack something in their life. There's something there that they really do not want to release. And that not only wealth, that's not just material things, but there's a lot of people. Sister Jessica spoke so wonderfully well of her testimony, how that there was something there within her that she had to release it and get over that. And many, many people try to do it within themselves, and a lot of people try to hide it, try to keep it within themselves. So I want to talk about these great possessions this morning. First of all, Webster tells us that possession means ownership, possessing or being possessed. Can I say that many times our possessions, actually, rather than us possessing them, they in fact are possessing us. I want you to think about that this morning. We're not willing to release. What is it that we're so possessive of this morning that we are not really willing to release unto the Lord? You know, good intentions are sometimes really, you know, not heartfelt and therefore are not completed. This young man comes to Jesus, and I want you to understand this is not a vile and irrational and maybe a harmful person. He, in fact, from what I read, he was probably a good person, a good neighbor, a good son. Don't know if he had children, but probably was a good father, probably tried to do those things that were morally correct and upright in his life. And even here he tells us that he kept all of those commandments from his youth. So he was dedicated to that, but he in his life knew that something was missing. Something just wasn't right. And I began to think about how that when we come to Jesus, we have our own little story. We have our own little prayer. We have our own little confession that we want to give to him. But so many times we don't get to the root of the problem, and Jesus knows the root of the problem. He knows the heart, and he knows the sincerity of the heart, and he looks behind, past our words so many times that we get into an altar, a prayer closet, wherever we maintain that prayer time with God, and we begin to pour out our heart, but there's some things that we are protective of. There's some things that we just really don't want to share, even with the Lord. We just are not comfortable with it. We just don't want to bring it out. Sometimes we don't even want to think about it. We think if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. And I think that somewhat this particular young man fit into that
type of scenario as he came to Jesus. And he came to Jesus with good intentions. And I thought how many times that we have come before the Lord with good intentions. And we're going to do better. And we're going to serve him more. And we're going to make commitments unto him. And we're going to step out on faith. And all of those things are wonderful. But if they're not carried through, then kind of they're just kind of empty intentions that are never really fulfilled. And he comes up to him, and here's the thing about it. So many times, and I remember as a young boy in Sunday school class, and, you know, I was one of those children that everything was literal. I mean, everything, you know, and I remember them teaching about that, and I thought, God, how terrible is that of you to not want us to be successful, and how is it that you want to take everything away from us that we've worked so hard for, and then it is ours? And, you know, when I grew up, I remembered that ain't nothing I got mine. It's all been given to me by the Lord. You know, we got a saying around here. It's not about us. It's all about him. Amen. But I want you to understand, it wasn't that Jesus was against his wealth. It wasn't that Jesus was against his great landholdings or his money or anything like that. But what Jesus saw in the heart of that young man was an unwillingness to release the most important thing in his life. Now, if it had been wealth, Jesus would have not allowed Abraham, who was in fact known the friend of God, amen, to have his maintain all of his wealth. And the Bible tells us that he was a very wealthy man. But what did Abraham do when the Lord spoke to him and said, I need you to get up and get away from your kindred and get away from your land? He gave it all up, and he went to a place he didn't even know where he was going, because he knew that God would supply our needs. And we knew that God would make a way for him. And he went and followed the will of the Lord. Solomon was a very wealthy king, and he prayed for wisdom because he knew that God would meet his material needs, but he knew that he needed wisdom to govern such a great and mighty people as known as the children of God. So it's not so much that God was against the possessions of this man, but he was against what they had become in his life. They had become so possessive that he was not willing to give it up even for eternal life. I began to think this week, and God began to really play on my heart and on my mind. I told you these conversations that I've had, and we've talked about people, and we talked about good people. I want you to understand, there's a lot of, and I want you to really understand this statement, because I'm not trying to be judgmental, and I'm not trying to be hurtful and offensive, but there's a lot of good people in this world that need to be saved. So there's a lot of good people in this world that needs a born-again experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? They need to know what it is to sell out completely to the Lord. You know, I'm of this persuasive belief. Amen? Whatever we give up to the Lord, he's going to bless us multi times more, over and over again. And I begin to think about these conversations, and there's things that are in these people's lives. And I want you to understand, it's not all about money. It's not all about material things. There is so many things that people's lives are filled with, things that they're really not able or want to really release for the Lord. But can I tell you this morning, do you really want victory in your life? Do you really want a close relationship with the Lord? Do you really want to say, God, you are the single most important thing in my life? Or are you just one of those that's satisfied with just having him be a part of your life? There's a big difference, amen? This young man was a good man. This young man, I probably, was held high esteem in his neighborhood, and the Bible tells us himself he had done, but, you know, the first thing that gives us the mindset of this young man was the question that he posed to Jesus. He said, what good thing shall I do? There's a lot of people in this world today are looking for good things that I can do. Listen, you can do all the good things in the world and still die and go to hell. Man, you do good things because Jesus Christ comes into your life. Amen. It's not the other way around. You can do all the good things in the world and never invite Jesus Christ into your life. And I'm sorry to tell you, but you'd be just as lost as that worst sinner that's out there. Amen. You got to have the fulfilling of the Word of God. You have to obey the plan of salvation. You have to come before him with an open and contrite spirit, a broken heart. You got to be willing to lay everything down. I've been raised in church, and I've prayed with people people in the altar, and people are giving these things up and throwing those things away. And first thing you know, before the month's out, they're going back and grabbing them up. You're not really giving those things up. It's not impressing God for how many things you throw away in your life if your intention is to go right back out there and pick those things up. But let me tell you, God is looking for somebody who's committed to Him, who's dedicated to Him, and say, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm willing, Lord. Whatever you want me to go, whatever you want me to be, Lord, I want to follow you with my whole heart, my mind, my soul. God, I want everything that I am, amen, to be totally dedicated unto you. That's when you sell out, amen, to the world, and you sell out to the desires of the flesh. I understand Jesus told him right quick, there is none good but one, that is God. You know, it's very hard for the flesh to be good. It's very difficult. We need the infilling of the Spirit of God, amen, to have subjection over the flesh, amen. I've talked to young people and to parents, and they're talking to their children, and they're trying to make them be good. And I've heard these little children say, but mommy, it is so hard to do. When you're a little child and you already understand that it is very difficult to be good, amen, then it's going to be an impossibility when we try to do these good things on our own. How many knows it takes Jesus? Amen. It takes the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Power to overcome these things. Power, amen, to root those things out of our life. Whatever it is that we give up for the Lord. Now let me tell you something, folks. You can give up all the things in the world and still not accept Jesus Christ, and it still hasn't done you any good. You got to have Jesus in your life. You got to have His Spirit in there. And then Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. And I thought, this is just like the world. The world's always looking for the easy way out. How many knows that the drive-thrus are for convenience? I know I speak of drive-thrus a lot of time. That's because I spend a lot of time in drive-thrus. Amen. The Bible says, been in prayer, and I do, but sometimes I'm praying in the drive-thru. And yesterday was an example. You know, I pull up to this place of business. I already called Penny, what you want, we decided, and I'm going to bring it home. And I pull up, and my first response is, my Lord, is everybody in this drive-thru line? So you know what I do? For convenience, I go around them, and I park, and I go in. And there's only two people in front of me. That's the way the world is. The world is still seeking convenience and luxury, but they're not even wanting to go in. You know, from what I understand, you can even have a drive-through marriage. And I don't know if they got a window on the other side for divorce or not, but that's about as long as some of them last. Listen, folks, we got to get past this thing of convenience. We got to get past this thing of the easy way out. We got to get past this thing of, well, which commandments do you want me to obey? All of them? You know, we just want to pick and choose. And unfortunately, that's got into our Bible study. And we want to pick and choose what we want to do. And we want the Lord to sanction everything we do. That's not the way it works, Lord. The Lord doesn't conform to our needs. We need to conform to His Word. We need to be obedient. We need to be submissive unto the will of God. Amen. If you truly want to be sold out, if you truly want to be committed, if you truly want to be dedicated unto the Lord, don't ask the Lord to give you an easy way out. Say, Lord, what is your will for me, and how can I follow that? But I have great possessions. I have great possessions. Conversation was going pretty good up to that point. Found out it wasn't really that Jesus had anything against his wealth at all. He just saw where his heart was. When's the last time you asked Jesus to look where my heart is? Past what I'm saying, past what I'm feeling, but look into my heart, Lord. What is it that is a stumbling block? What is it that's causing me not to live in total and absolute victory? What is it that's causing me to have these situations of anxiety or stress or worry or whatever it is, whatever it is? You know, those possessions can be so many different things. The material things are easy. We can put our hand on that. We know what it is. And if you got a material thing that's keeping you from reading your Bible, from studying the Word of God, from coming to the church, for giving God time, you know exactly what it is. You can see it, you can feel it, and you know what's hindering you. So many times it's not material things, but they're still possessions. And the Bible said great possessions. It's not just a little thing. Lord, if you'll ask me to give this little thing up, then I can do that. But Lord, you want me to give this up? You want me to release this? And let me tell you what the Spirit of the Lord began to move on me. And I may have used this analogy before, but it's like someone's coming into our home, and we want to be impressive, don't we? Penny tells me, sweep that up. We're having company. Well, and you think I don't sweep it up when we don't have company, right? I do when I get around to it. But this is a sense of urgency. Somebody's coming to the house. Hey, let's pick this up. Let's put that up. And you know what? When we show people our house, there's one room we don't want them to see. You know the room? The ironing board's down. Laundry basket, two or three of them's there. Kids' toys get kicked in, shut the door. And we'll show them the rest of the house. Oh, look at our new kitchen. Look at our new bedroom suit. Look at this, because we have prepared that. There is a room that you don't have entrance to. There is a room that we don't want you looking at, because it's full of great possessions. It's full of things that I can't let go. It's full of years and years of, I don't really want to call it trash, but contraband. Man, my wife's been on a purging mission. I have found out, if you don't want to see that thing in the trash can, get it off the floor. She's been that around the church. That's what she calls it. She said, I'm on a purging mission. And I've learned to put my shoes up. Amen. I want her purging my shoes. Amen. You know what? Let me tell you something. We talk about revival. When's the last time you had a one-on-one revival with Jesus? Lord, I'm going on a purging mission. All that old bitterness in a church member, bitterness in a ministry. Hello? We don't want to talk about them possessions. All of that. Lord, I'm going on a purging mission. I want you to purge everything that is not your will. God, I know that you'll make a way, Lord. I just want you to take it away from me. And that's the prayer that we pray. But how many have said, Lord, I'm just going to give it to you? It's one thing to have God take it away, but Jesus told him, said, you go and sell those things that you have and give it to the poor. Man, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'll do these other things. I'll come to church. I'll praise the Lord. I'll read my Bible. I'll sit in Sunday school class. Lord, I can't give this up. I can't release it. Because that's my room. Come on, that's my room. Unfortunately, there is a spiritual house that we have. Let's get away from the natural dwelling and the room that we have as a kind of a junk room. But when we got in the house we have now, Penny let me have a room. I was so thrilled. It was such a blessing to call it my room. For so many years it's been our house, our room, our this, our that. But Penny said, you can have a room. So bless your sweetheart. Thank you. I have a room. I showed some of you my room. It may not be the most well kept, but it's my room. It may not have the interior decor that are in some houses, but it's my room. If I want to put deer heads on it, I put deer heads on it. Because it's my room. And if I want to pull some of the things out of the shed. And case in point, I got this, you know, I have this desire to be craft-minded. You know, you go to these flea markets and all these wonderful antiques. You see all that, and you say, "Man, I can do that. I can do that. I can make one of them. They want $50 of that. I can go down the shed and make one. Mine don't look like theirs, but I try." So I had this idea. I got a piece of redwood for $1. Praise God, what a deal! And I varnished that thing and I coated it and I got to looking and I got a few little Native American artifacts. When I was a kid, we called them arrows. But now they're Native artifacts. And a couple of little bone handled, man, you right down my alley when you talk about a deer antler bone handled knife. And the blade is not made out of metal, it's made out of rock. And I said, if I can put all that together, and I'm so proud of it, I just hang it on my wall in my room. And I got a picture of it in my phone if any of you ever want to see it. And those things I don't mind showing, but can I tell you, there's some things in up there in that room I don't really care about you seeing. They some old camouflage stuff that my intentions are is to get them out of my room when hunting season's over. Deer season's over, but turkey season's still going on. I thought it'd be waste of time to put my camos in the building if I still got turkeys in, so I might get to go. So I still got them laying there in the room. So, and you know, you walk in, you see the little craft thing that I made and the things hanging on the wall, but all over the floor is camo stuff and boots and ammunition and all like that. And if you want to come see my room, give me a few minutes. Give me a few minutes to get in prayer and meditation and get it out. But it's best. You just let me tell you about my room, and you just don't come look at it. Great possessions. Great possessions may not always mean a big bank account. May not always mean these things we have in our natural room. But those great possessions that I'd read you the definition, those things that we have ownership of, we're possessing or being possessed by our possessions. You see, they're off limits. We don't talk about those things. We don't discuss those things. We don't even tell Jesus about those things. We want Jesus in the house, but not in that room. Can I say that again? We want Jesus in the house, but not that room, because that room's off limits. Because that room actually has things that are impeding or detrimental to our true worship and our true praise of God, because they're stumbling blocks. They're things that the devil has thought that made us think that they're so important that we got to keep them and hold them. And that's what this was. When Jesus looked in there, he already saw his goodness. He saw his moral character. He saw that he was a keeper of the commandments. He saw that he treated his neighbor right. He probably saw that he was even a church member. But he looked into that room that really we have, that most people don't have limit or access to, and he said, "There's where your treasure is. Are you willing to get rid of that?" And I ask us as a church this morning, are we ready to come clean before Jesus? And let me tell you, he already knows what's in the room. He already knows what's in that part of your heart that you put aside and you try to keep it from everybody. If you want true deliverance, if you want true victory, you come with an open heart and an open confession and confess those to Jesus. Not to me. It doesn't matter to me. It matters to Jesus. But if you really want to be filled, if you really want to be on fire, if you really want revival, purge those things that are in your heart. Purge those things that are in your life. All of the possessions, all of the guilt, all of the shame, all of the anger, whatever the situation is, are you willing to release it to God? Are you willing to open up your heart's door and purge those things? I've kept these from my youth. What lack I yet? I wrote here, good moral person, but something's missing. Something's missing. It's not about our goodness, folks. And my wife has just said, we do good because we're saved, not to get saved. Amen. You can do all the goodness in the world, amen, and still come to the Lord without an open confession, without pouring your heart out to God, and you're probably not going to get very far with Him. But you become good. You do those things because the power of God is within you, because you've accepted Jesus, because He's infilled you with His Spirit. But something was missing for this young man, and he knew it. Because Jesus didn't have to tell him. Because he said, I've done these things, but yet what do I lack? What do I lack? What is that that's missing? Does that hit home with anybody this morning? Do you find that no matter how good you try to be, that there's still something that's just not right? Something that just makes you not really sleep good at night. Something that blocks or impedes your worship of the Lord. You go through the motions. And it feels good. Let me tell you, worship feels great. Hallelujah. It's not hard to worship the Lord, amen, when the power of God has come down and you're having fellowships with the saints. But do you want this kind of feeling when you're out on the battlefield? Come on, do you want the same kind of victory, amen, when you're staring your adversary right in the face and he's bringing everything in the world against you? And he will. Amen, you really want that victory. You want that deliverance. You want that power, amen, to put him in his place. I rebuke you, Satan. You know you can do that, not because of yourself, but because of that power that is within you. Amen. You got power to say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get thee behind me, Satan. I refuse to hear it. I refuse to be led by your spirit. I refuse, amen, to be brought down by the shame. Let me tell you something. Glory to God. I use that word shame because that's one of the greatest possessions, amen, that the adversary puts on us today. Hallelujah. I'm ashamed to talk of the things that I did before Jesus saved me. I'm ashamed to know that I actually did that and actually lived that way. But all my hope is in Jesus. All my yesterdays are gone. Glory to God. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. So let me tell you, Satan, don't you bring that little shame thing against me. Amen. Because I've given it to Jesus. I openly confessed it. I said, I'm sorry, Jesus. I knew I was wrong. I knew I sinned. Amen. But you forgave me. That's what we need to understand today. When we bring it to Jesus, He is still in the business of forgiving, redeeming, and forgetting, and washing away those things. Don't let them become a great possession in your life. I found out that all of our great possessions are not things that we're proud of. We'll talk about those. We'll talk about keeping the commandments. We'll talk about doing good. We'll talk about being a committed church worker or a church member. But there's some of our possessions we don't want to talk about. Otherwise, we don't want to share them because they're hurtful. They hurt us. You know, and it can be a number of different things that we're holding on to and just won't let go. Man, you know, there's a time when you need to lay them down. Glory to God. There's a time when you need to release it unto the Lord. I thought Brother Jim McCoy's got me lifting some weights, and when he tells me that's it, you can lay them down now. You talk about rejoicing. Amen. You talk about a big, heavy weight being lifted. Amen. That's a glorious thing. I look, the greatest thing I can hear him say is, okay, that's it. That's it. I got to tell you. He told me this week, he's trying to build my confidence up. He's trying to build me up while I was working out. He said, you give me about 6 months, I think, sometime around the end of June, July, you're going to walk in the house and you're going to be taking your shirt off and Penny's going to walk up to you and she's going to say, my Lord, you're looking good. I sweat and lifting them weights and I said, no, brother. She's going to be looking over in the casket and say, don't he look good? He is so filled out. Got him so tickled he almost dropped the weight. There's things we don't share. There's things we don't want to talk about. There's things that they're my possession. That's my business. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a whole lot easier to serve the Lord with a clear conscience than it is to try to hide something. Why are we trying to hide it? Trying to hide it from the pastor? I'm not your judge. I ain't sent nobody to hell. I can't send nobody to heaven. I can preach. I can share the word of God with them. I can pray with them. But God is our judge. God is our judge. And when I'm saying that, you don't have to confess to me. You don't have to say, Pastor, let me tell you all that. But you do have to get it out. What is that thing? And I repeat myself. What is that possession that we are so unwilling to release, that we're so unwilling to give up, to really have that total and absolute dedicated and committed relationship with Jesus Christ? What is that great possession? Is it money? Is it your job? Is it a situation that you just can't get over? Is it not a material thing at all? Is it just, oh God, you don't want me to say that, do you? Is it hurt with your brother and sister? Well, let me ask you something. How many believes that the Lord forgives us for everything? And the Bible tells us to be Christ-like. To be ye holy, for I am holy. And you mean to tell me that Jesus has forgiven you of your greatest sin? You won't even forgive your brother and sister? Now, what's wrong with that picture? But, Brother Eddie, that's my possession. That's my right. If I want to hold animosity to them, I'm going to do it. And by the way, you just don't know what they did to me. Could it have been worse than beating you and laying stripes on you? Could it be worse than plaiting a crown of thorns and embedding it upon your head to make your head bleed? Could it be worse than nailing your hands and feet to a cross and thrusting you in a hole that was already dug? And when that cross hit the bottom, it tore the flesh. Could it be worse than that? But in all of that, you know what Jesus said? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Brother Eddie is my possession. This is the thing that's off limits. Don't be like the rich young ruler. He did not have to turn away sorrowfully, but he did. His intentions were good. His moral character was good. But in the end, Jesus purged his heart, looked into his heart, and saw the real culprit. So this is what's more important to you than eternal life. What is the profit if we gain the whole world and lose our soul? We stand before the judgment seat of God. And in all honesty and sincerity, because we might as well be, because God knows our heart. God, the reason I couldn't totally commit to you is because this was more important. That's harsh, but it's true. What is more important to you? What is so important to you? What are you so possessive of that you have not learned to release? You may have been saved for years. You may have been attending church for years, holding on to this same possession, holding on to this same grief, this same sorrow, anxiety, whatever it is, hurtfulness, anger, you name it. The possessions are great. They're numerous. They're many. The Lord spoke to me this week, said you got to release them. You got to be willing to let them go. Amen. Get in that room that's been off limits. Open up your heart's door. Open up that room in your heart. Say, Lord, you've had access to the rest of my heart for years. And to be honest with you, I hadn't let you in that room. For fear. For fear. But let me tell you something. The best person, the best deity to clean up that room is the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? Because he sweeps it so clean. Amen. You'll be so glad. You'll feel like the greatest burden in the world has been lifted off of you. great possessions. Let me read it again. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Don't let history repeat itself. Don't walk out of this church this morning sorrowful. How did Brother Eddie know? Brother Eddie don't know squat. I don't know anything that you've been facing. I just know that the Spirit of the Lord's been speaking to me this week. Maybe it was just for me. Maybe I need to purge those things. But maybe you're here today. The Lord has spoken to you. And you need to understand and realize that there's things in your life, amen, that you can't erase it, okay? It's done. It's done. But you can get forgiveness. And you can ask the Lord, I give it to you freely. I release it to you. I'll leave you with this final thought. Moses, the story of little Moses, the little story that's in so many songs, that he was put in a little basket and put in the bulrushes that saved his life. You know, the remarkable part of that story is that his mother had to release him in order for him to live. She had to release that great and wonderful child, that possession, because listen, if she'd have held on to Jesus, to Moses, and said, I'm not going to release him, then Pharaoh would have had him killed. He would have been dead. But because she released it, that most possessive thing that she had, her love for him was greater. So she released it. Can you imagine putting your child in a basket and pushing him out into the bulrushes? Very difficult. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult to reach into our heart and to take that and release it to Jesus. But there's life in it. There's life in it. Would you stand? I don't have to discern that this was not a shouting message. I know that. Man, there's plenty of shouting messages, but let me tell you something. You get rid of those possessions, the shout will come. Amen. The victory will be there. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to think about those possessions.